Columbus.
From the Ohio News Network, this is Ohio Sports Magazine. Now, here's your host, Jay Fox.
Welcome to another episode of Ohio Sports Magazine. I'm your host, Jay Fox, and this week we break down the Cleveland Guardians' woes and discuss how their last-minute flurry of trades are poised to help the team succeed. Munch Bishop from our affiliate WHBC in Canton joins us for that discussion. The Cincinnati Bengals have opened training camp, and veteran Bengals analyst Jay Morrison helps us understand the team's new mindset on both sides of the ball. Columbus plays host again to the massive Gay Softball World Series this month. Organizer Dallas Aldridge has all the details and talks about the 267-team tournament. That plus our Locked On contributors have news from every sport up next on the Ohio News Network. The Cleveland Guardians find themselves in a tight race in the American League Central. Munch Bishop from our affiliate WHBC in Canton has been following and reporting on the team for more than 40 years. He joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jay. You know, it's interesting because even before I started in our beloved business, that we do feel that way about it still, is that I feel like I've been covering from even longer. I will never forget what got me hooked and what we're doing today is between first and second grade in the summers, my dad would go off to the plant, but he'd have his cup of coffee and his couple scrambled eggs in the morning. He'd always leave the box score page open in the morning paper, and bang, on our table there at 3990 Joanne Drive in the Lee Harvard area, and I would go over all the box scores.
You know, I did the same thing, but for me it was in the afternoon with the Cleveland Press.
Okay. Oh, you were not an early riser. Look at you now.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. All right. So for the first few months of the season, it looked like the Guardians were runaway division leaders. Now it's a four-way race. What has changed?
Well, number one is that three injuries in the space of what? Less than 1 hour in one game really, really put the kibosh on the Guardians. You know what I'm talking about. Of course, Jose Ramirez, who still is not the same. I know he's a Hall of Fame player one day, but you know what? I dare to say that right now his bat is hurting the team. There's no doubt about that. And then you had Chase Delano go down and Angel Martinez, who had been really, really hot. So that will mean a lot. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to knock off what you're saying and push it back to a three-team race because the Detroit Tigers, after getting rid of Scooble, they're going to unload a few more players today, probably possibly Casey Vice and Gleyber Torres. So they're going to be drifting back further and further as the year goes on. But here is something to hit you with. No one, and I'm talking even people that have covered the South Side Chicago White Sox for decades, like I have with the Guardians before them, the Indians, had any idea this would be happening with the Chicago White Sox, and it is. So they are just out there with people scratching their heads. And you got to give a shout-out to Derek Shelton, former Guardian coach, is that look what he's doing in Minnesota. So let's call it a three-team race,
all right? We'll agree on that. And, you know, any time a team can go into Tampa Bay like the White Sox did and beat them at their house, you know they're for real. The Cleveland Guardians were very active in the last 3 days before the MLB trade deadline. They needed to address several key issues. A solid starter for the rotation, additional help in the bullpen, stronger depth in the outfield, and additional offensive firepower, especially at first base. The biggest acquisition was left-handed starter Foster Griffin from the Athletics. He comes to the team with a current 12-3 record and a 3.06 ERA. It only costs the team Josh Hartle, which analysts consider beyond reasonable, given landing a 31-year-old all-star caliber starter in return. Griffin will likely be the third or fourth starter, and Slade Ciccone will likely be moved into a long relief position in the bullpen. Joe Adell was acquired from the Los Angeles Angels and brings power and speed at the plate to the team. He will be the new right fielder. Last year, he hit 37 home runs, and his bat speed was in the 97th percentile. He has shown moments of brilliance defensively with a few notable gaffes. Minor league catcher Jacob Cozart was all the Guardians had to give up to get Joe Adell. The Guardians have a new first baseman. Nathaniel Lowe comes from the Cincinnati Reds, where he was batting .266. Lowe was on the Texas Rangers 2023 World Series team and has postseason experience. He's an upgrade at first both offensively and defensively. David Fry and Kyle Manzardo both sent down to AAA Columbus. The Reds picked up pitcher Alejandro Rivera and infielder Juan Brito. Finally, the guard sent catcher Bo Naylor and relief pitcher Cody Hure to the Milwaukee Brewers for reliever Craig Yoho and outfielder Blake Perkins. Yoho has already made a contribution to the Guardians' bullpen and is expected to provide significant depth in short relief. The new starting lineup might look like this in order. Kwan in left, Ramirez at third, DeLauder in center, Bezzana at second, Lowe at first, Hoskins at DH, Adell at right, Bailey at catcher, and Rocchio at short. Will Brennan may platoon in right. Angel Martinez and Daniel Schneeman will DH against lefties. Blake Perkins and Petey Halpin could also see some time in center field. The depth of the team's pitch hit bench has significantly deepened. There's so many players on this team who have the talent, but they are not performing. Is this a hitting coach problem?
You know what, Jay? I mulled that over. One of the toughest parts of this job is when you call for somebody to lose their job. All right? I learned that from Burl Bruce years ago. There's families involved. There's schools. There's houses and stuff. But if somebody is not up to snuff, I would have to think twice about that. And I'm so glad you said that, because when I look at these games that they're losing 1-0 and they get three hits, another team, you know, may get three hits, but they hit one out. Yeah. There is more talent there than they're displaying. It's got to go somewhere. I mean, who else could you put that on? You know, if it was just one guy, but just a player after player after player, when you look going down the roster saying, you know what, this guy should be doing that. I know what it could have, should have, but they've been proven to have done that in the past. That is a big, big problem with this team right now.
What do they need to do to not finish third and make the playoffs? How can they win
all right,
this division?
Well, number one, I have them still winning the division. That there's something about this team surges and finishes very, very strong. You know, it's very simple. You need to bring runners in scoring position with less than two out, all right? The bottom line is, how many times have we seen bases loaded or a leadoff double and it goes awry? You know, they get the guy over to third base with a sack or hitting to the ball, ground out to the right side of the infield. You have to do that, but also the bullpen pitchers have to come through in a big, big way, because you know what? What was supposed to be the strength of the team has turned out to be an aberration, Jay. The 7-run inning that they gave up on Saturday. Now, Stephen Vogt told us yesterday that you will not see that again this year. I hope the heck he's right. But relievers you were counting on, I'm going to say this right now, the only reliever I can count on in that pen is the closer, Cade Smith. I mean, Sobrowski, and some of it has to do with injuries. These guys haven't come back. I mean, Gattis, Saturday night's performance was one of the worst I've ever seen. And yeah, he's in the majors and I'm not, but I'm doing what I've been asked to do, and that is just tell you what's going on. So the bullpen, the middle relievers have to come through in a big, big way, and you got to bring some guys in on base with one out or no outs.
All right. That being said, we want to thank Mutch Bishop for joining us today and giving us his insights on our beloved Cleveland Guardians. And there's more Ohio Sports Magazine Around the Diamond when we come back to the Ohio News Network.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination. ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan.
Enjoy more.
Demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the Fan app.
Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The Cincinnati Bengals have opened their summer training camp, and there's some questions to be answered as the Bengals attempt to be competitive in the AFC North this year. Jay Morrison is the beat reporter for the Bengals for Sports Illustrated and a longtime NFL sports writer and analyst. And he joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jay. Hope you're doing well.
I am, and thank you for being with us.
Sure.
Joe Burrow is back. Here's the question for you. Can he stay healthy, and can he adjust to the new offensive strategies?
We'll see on the former, and yeah, absolutely on the latter. It's always going to be a question the rest of his career. I feel like if he strings 3 years together, you're always going to have in the back of your mind the injury history. He looks good. We've seen this before where he's looked really good. Reworked his body, reworked his footwork, whatever he works on the off season. And then these injuries are just kind of fluky. A lot of them, you know, even last year he was hurt on the field in a game, but it was the just the weird way he went down with the toe, trying to extend a play. So that's always going to be the question with him. You feel good about where he is right now, but it's always going to be in the back of everybody's mind. But adjusting, he seems open to it. We'll see if, and what we're talking about here is we've seen a lot of under center play action. You know, his superpower has always been to kind of sit back there in shotgun and survey the field, not a lot of motion. You know where everybody is, you know where everybody's going. We've seen a lot of motion so far early in camp, and a lot of eye candy, so to speak, and Burrow getting under center, and they've got a real shot to turn this running game into something special. So you want to lean into that play action to kind of surprise the defense, and you've got the weapons to be explosive by draw sucking the defense in. So I don't think they're going to major in it, but I do think we're going to see a lot more of it. And then the question is, you know, if you get late in games or even halftime and they're down, does Burrow just say, scrap it? I want to go back to the way I've always done it.
Well, and he may, but the bigger issue for this team is the defense, no question asked. So will Al Golden's 3-4 defense save the day? And do they even have the personnel to execute that change?
Yeah, I think they do. That's been the story of camp through the first week, is just how, and I know the pads haven't come on yet, but there's a real presence and leadership on that defensive line now that you've added Dexter Lawrence, Jonathan Allen, Boye Mafe. They've got a lot of interchangeable parts. They lost Shamar Stewart, last year's first-round pick, for several weeks, the knee injury. But even with these other guys, this defense line is going to be something that offenses have to deal with. And we look at last year, and it was the big thing, the biggest ding on this defense was the inability to tackle. But the lack of a pass rush, even when Trey Hendrickson was there, Trey would make plays, but not a lot of other people were. And then Trey gets hurt midseason, and they just had no pass rush to speak of. That's not going to be the case this year. So just by proxy, I think that pass rush is going to make the secondary and the linebackers better. But DJ Turner is emerging as one of the best corners in this league. He's fighting for a new contract, but he's not holding in. He's still out there playing and practicing and going full speed and getting in fights with Ja'Marr Chase. I think this is really – Al Golden was kind of coaching with one hand behind his back last year. They added the personnel this year. They not only added talent, but they added guys that are versatile, and it's really going to allow Al to get back to being kind of the pressure, blitzing, unpredictable type of defensive coordinator he likes to be.
Now, there are a lot of rookies on this roster, and they're being asked to step up this year. Do those rookies have the right stuff as the team rebuilds its core?
Yeah, it feels like they do. You like everything that you've seen from Cassius Howell so far. He was their top pick. They didn't have a first-round pick because of the Dexter Lawrence trade. They take him in the second round. Couple offensive linemen are getting a lot of run with the twos right now, make you feel good about their depth, and Connor Liu and Brian Parker. And then Colby Young, the fourth-round pick out of Georgia, the receiver, has made some plays already early in camp, and it's so big. You have to make those 50-50 balls. You have to be where you're supposed to be to earn Joe Burrow's trust. And if you earn his trust, it doesn't go away. And he really counts on you. And we've seen him struggle to develop rapport with receivers. And it just kind of lingers throughout the year. So that connection's important. Takario Davis is another guy that they took him the third round, the cornerback. It's kind of wide open. You got DJ Turner and Dax Hill as your outside corners. But everything behind that is up for grabs. The slot corner, which I don't think Takario would fit in because he's too tall, but to be that number three outside corner, he's in that mix right now. So it really does feel like a pretty strong draft class, even though you're not going to count on a lot of these guys a lot. You got all 11 starters back on offense. All the defensive spots are pretty much spoken for except slot corner. This team's in a good spot.
Now, the depth chart is very, very important as injuries become more pervasive. So we've got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. They're our top receivers. Who backs them up if one or both of them, God forbid, get injured?
Well, right now it's Andre Yoshivas. He's also going into a contract year. Coaches love guys in contract years. They're a little more motivated. He's been on the rise. He struggled last year with some drops, and he seemed to overcome that. He's a guy that they can really rely on. You've got Mike Gesicki, the tight end, who's really more of a slot receiver, a big slot, but he doesn't really play the inline tight end position. So he's a guy that could kind of step in. Colby Young, who I just mentioned, as a fourth round pick. You know, Charlie Jones is a guy that they just, he was a fourth round pick. This is going into his fourth year. Just a lot of injuries. He's making a lot of plays early in camp. And if he can stay healthy, I mean, he's had a return touchdown in each of the last 3 years. They know what the explosion he brings on special teams. If he can just stay healthy and kind of work his way into being that third down every now and then slot receiver, I just think that the depth is there. And then you've got a lot of guys, Noah Thomas from Georgia, who played with Colby Young, and Dante Myers, who was in the CFL. They're just young guys that have made a lot of kind of eye-popping, impressive plays through the first 4 days of camp.
I know you don't like to prognosticate, and neither do I, but I'm going to say 10 wins in the wild card. What do you say?
I lean a little. I would go 11. I just, the Vegas line's 10.5. If Joe Burrow stays healthy, which was the big question, and even this year, I don't know if it's that big of a question. We saw how good Joe Flacco played last year, and he got here and learned on the fly, learned the offense in 3 days before starting in Green Bay. He's had a whole offseason, though, to integrate himself into this team. So it wouldn't be ideal for Burrow to go down, but you don't feel as wrecked about it if Flacco were to have to step in for some games. And the schedule just lines up really nicely for them. And I think 11 is a floor, and I can't pick him to win the division. I still, even though Baltimore's got a new head coach and there's a lot of questions there, that is a fantastic organization. They always do a great job in free agency, a great job in drafting, and I still got to lean towards them as my division favorite. But yeah, Bengals are in the wild card at the least, 11 wins at the least.
All right, I agree with you on Baltimore, and we'll give you the 11 wins. We will come back and talk to you more as the season goes on. We want to thank Jay Morrison for being with us today on Ohio Sports Magazine. And there is more of that coming up next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Another reason why Ohio is now ranked the number one state for business by CNBC. This is what unstoppable feels like. We did it together, Ohio. Our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
The Ohio chapter of the International Society of Arboriculture, or ISA, encourages you to schedule your winter tree work during the summer. It's a smart choice because it often secures better Ohio ISA certified arborist contractors availability. In some cases, you can lock in off-season pricing or discounts. Plan ahead before winter storms hit and remove problematic trees on your property before they cause damage. You can find your highly qualified Ohio ISA certified arborist at trees4ohio.org. That's trees, the number 4ohio.org.
Helping a new driver get ready for their road test? Use a convenient new way to make the most of your 50 hours of required practice driving time. The Road Ready Ohio app, available now at no cost to new drivers and their families. Road Ready Ohio keeps track of your driving experience together, providing feedback and safe driving tips. It even generates the documentation you need for the Ohio BMV. The Road Ready Ohio app, free to download in the Apple and Google App Stores.
And now, Public Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Jeff Wensing.
We're getting ready to head back to our classrooms for the new school year, and I want to recognize our education support professionals, many of whom work right through the summer months to make our schools run smoothly every day. To Ohio school secretaries, custodians, maintenance workers, and so many more, thank you.
Public Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal, regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
The Gay Softball World Series returns to Columbus at Lou Berliner Sports Park, August 30th through September 5th. It's the 49th annual tournament for what is the largest annual LGBTQ plus sporting event in the world of its nature. Dallas Aldridge is the executive director of the event, joins us now on Ohio Sports Magazine. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great. Dallas, with over 267 teams officially registered, are there enough fields to accommodate all of these games?
You know, that was one of the interesting challenges this year is, you know, the event loves to come back to Columbus because of Berliner Sports Park in the size, but we've actually exceeded the size with over 1,100 games that'll be played this week of the event. So we're adding an additional park in Grove City for a couple days of the tournament.
I would imagine you'd have to. Now, in addition to that, over 5,000 athletes will be coming to Columbus for this event. What is the economic impact of the event for Columbus and for the state of Ohio in general?
You know, it's really calculated by the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. They put some numbers together, and the direct economic impact locally and for the state will exceed $9 million. So it's a big number.
Yeah, it's a huge number. So getting back to the actual games themselves, you said they're going to be 1,100 games. How do you ensure a smooth transition between each game?
You know, there are time limits on each game, and the tournament staff that runs the tournament from iPride Softball, you know, really has this down over the time that they planned this, you know, in the 49 years. There are usually some delays, but there are also some creative ways they move some games to fields that are open to make sure everything mostly stays on time.
Now, is this all fast pitch softball? Is it high arc softball? Is it slow pitch, or is it a combination of all three?
This is all slow pitch, high arc softball. Seven different divisions and all different skill levels.
Now, does that require a different ball, or is it a traditional softball?
This is just a traditional softball.
And what kind of bats are used? Are they aluminum bats or wood bats?
It's really a composite bat, and this is a tournament that the bats are actually provided. There's two different styles of a Mikan bat. There's a more of an end-loaded and more of a mid-loaded bat. So the teams don't actually bring their own bats, and it kind of levels the playing field with the competition that everybody's using the same product.
Now, do the pitchers hit, or are there designated hitters in softball?
No, everyone on the field hits, and you can have a couple extra hitters as well, so you can, you know, have 12 people hitting for the game.
So within those 12 people, that being three extra, if I put one of the three in, do I have to take somebody out from a field position or no?
So you can field 10 on the field. So, you know, you get one extra player compared to baseball. So, you know, a little extra outfielder there. The other two extra hitters can swap in and out with any player without it being a sub or, you know, changing really the lineup of your game.
So we have first base, second base, shortstop, third, pitcher, catcher, left field, center field, right field. Where is that fourth outfielder? Is it in the middle?
It's really in that center field area. You know, we have kind of a left center and a right center fielder in the slow pitch.
Got it. Now, what is the distance for a home run in softball?
300 feet is the average distance of the fields. You know, there's a few that, you know, at Berliner, they might be 302 or 306, but, you know, you're right around 300 feet is your home run distance.
Are there any other special rules that are associated with these games?
You know, depending on the division is really, you know, what differentiates the game, because, you know, there are some lower divisions that, you know, the divisions are based on skill level. So you're not allowed to have a home run. So if someone would come up and hit a home run, it's like, it's an inning ending out. So you're changing up that inning with just one hit. That's probably one of the bigger ones that you really see happen.
So you're actually penalized for hitting a home run.
Yes. Yeah, 'cause you're, when you're coming into this, you're saying your skill level that you can't do that skill. And that's really where these divisions are differentiated. And then if you can do that, then you should probably be in a different division that you're playing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that one. What about for the rank amateurs? Is there anything along the lines of T-ball, or is it just we're hoping for the best and see what happens?
You know, the teams that are really coming here are usually the best teams in their cities. You know, there's 58 cities in this organization across the country. You know, so you're going to get 267 teams out of those 58 cities. So they're all good softball players. So the game really doesn't change based on that skill level. The rules are the same. The pitching's the same. You know, it's just the divisions are divided up. You know, with your A division being the best, and that's really some good softball to watch.
Admission to the games is completely free. What will the fan experience be like this year? Is there food and beverage? Can we buy souvenirs? How does that work?
Yeah, we'll have all of those things. You know, we'll have vendors there. You know, so just like anywhere else, you can get the branded merchandise for the event. We will have the regular concessions at Berliner, but they actually, for this event, because of the size, bring in additional food trucks, and we will actually have beer sales at Berliner as well, which is only a few events get to do that throughout the year.
Now, how do you handle the brutal late August heat for both players and for the fans?
You know, fingers crossed, our August heat is not unbearable. We've usually had some pretty good luck with the tournament every time we've hosted. You know, one thing we do add is we add in some water filtration systems, and all the players get water bottles. So we give them ways to, you know, just to stay hydrated through the week.
And I'm sure there's medical personnel on site just in case something happens.
Yes, for sure. We work with Ohio Health, and you know, they provide EMTs. We actually have athletic trainers on site that can assist the players with any, you know, minor injuries. So we really, you know, really kind of go all out for the overall experience of everybody coming to Columbus for that week.
Is there a website where we can go to learn more?
Sure. It's GaySoftballWorldSeries.org.
All right.
Lots of info on there. And, you know, we need about 500 volunteers. So there is a volunteer link on there if anybody wanted to pitch in a couple hours.
All right. We want to thank Dallas Aldridge for being our guest on Ohio Sports Magazine. And there is more of that on the other side of the diamond coming up next on the Ohio News Network.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan.
Jerry, I've made a decision.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine for your Sunday afternoon with highs right around 90 degrees. There'll be a nice breeze carrying us through the rest of the afternoon into the evening hours. Lots of sunshine today, not too many clouds out there, but tonight we do have a chance of seeing some isolated showers build overnight into Monday morning. We do have a chance of those becoming strong to severe. Rain chances continue Monday through Wednesday of next week. I'm your 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
We used to have a... This is ONN.
For the first time since 2015, the Ohio State football team will begin the season number one in the coaches' preseason top 25 poll. Buckeyes began fall camp earlier this week in Columbus. Ohio State is one of the first, if not the only, program in the country to open training camp practices to their fans. Paul Feinbaum covers college football for ESPN. He joined Bo Bishop on ONN affiliate WBNS-FM in Columbus earlier this week, and Paul says he's surprised more programs don't open their camp to their fan bases, especially in the South.
Considering the need for money, LSU didn't invite everybody to camp, but they did have their 40 fattest cats to the governor's house the other day, where they raised $20 or $30 or $40 million. But this is novel. I mean, it would. Can you imagine this at Auburn or Texas or Oklahoma? It would be. It would really be unbelievable.
Well, it's found money too. And we're living in a world where these athletic directors, these administrations, these programs, they're looking. Not everybody can have a room full of fat cats like LSU, and I want to ask you about that in a second, where they don't have that. So you have to find money where you can. Ohio State doesn't have a found money problem, but it's basically there to do this, and they're just taking advantage of the market. And you're right. I cannot understand how a program like Texas hasn't done this. They're in a massive city. They'd easily be able to do it. All of those programs down there could do it. It just seems kind of a no-brainer, but I think maybe it's a little bit of a thing that we've seen, a microcosm where the programs up here, for the most part, at the top, I'm not saying all of them, but at the top, are maybe we're a little bit more ready and aligned for this world of college football than some of the programs down there.
I think you're right. Now, everyone will have a stand day on Sunday, which is somewhat ridiculous. You stand online, but I mean, that's fine. I've argued, Bo, and the commissioner will not listen to me, that they should open media days the same way. Let 3,000 people sit there. You know, whether they get close to a coach or a player is irrelevant, but they're part of the system. But I hate to you know, wave that white flag again, but the South might rise again one day. But they're not doing it very intelligently when it comes to the economics of college football.
Just for our audience understands, you're not messing around. In Baton Rouge, where did this happen? This LSU, let's raise a bunch of money, get some boys together.
It was at the governor's mansion because the governor is the de facto head of the football program. And for those who, you have to go back to the 20s and 30s to understand the significance of that. There was once a governor named Huey Long who really called the LSU football program his own. Read the history books. There's some pretty good information about him, but I'll let everybody Google that one.
From an LSU perspective, because they are the gift that keeps on giving, right, with that athletic department and all of it, do they feel like that they are aligned now in a way that they can try to compete at this level? And perhaps that's why Lane's there, right? Because that's the place where you could theoretically win at a consistent level, and they've won 3 national titles the last 25 years with 3 different coaches. Win at a level that happens here in Columbus.
I really doubted they could do it, because one thing you've often heard about LSU is it's a poor state. Much of it depends on the price of oil and gas, which is up right now but may not be next year. But I would like a full investigation into this, Bo, but the governor is so important here. There is literally, and I mean this seriously, there's no telling where some of this money is coming from. Because you just can't go from a $20 million budget to a 40, and now it's over 50. And it replicates a little bit of what's going on across the country, but there's no check and balance. Lane Kiffin literally has a blank check, and that's why he was able to go into the portal and get the top quarterback, get the top offensive line. He's got 3 tight ends that are probably NFL worthy. It is truly amazing what he's been able to do, and he's going to need it because of his schedule.
We'll be back with more Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Ohio sports destination. The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
When you The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
This is ONN.
Major League Baseball's trade deadline has come and passed, and the Cincinnati Reds were active, but maybe not as active as fans thought they would be, or maybe should be. Jeff Carr, one of the hosts of the Locked On Reds podcast, joins us now. And Jeff, the Reds didn't get better for this year. It doesn't seem they got better for next year, and it certainly doesn't seem like they got better for the future. Just what was the trade deadline strategy for the Reds if they had one?
I think you telling us that the deadline is passed will be the first time that the Reds have heard of that. seems as though they weren't prepared for such a thing. Their plan was very confusing. And I would have even said it would have been a bad plan had they stood pat, but they didn't stand pat. They like soft sold for no value whatsoever, because all they managed to acquire was a 19-year-old pitcher, $250,000 worth of international pool space, and a utility infielder that the Guardians looked at for 25 seconds and decided they didn't need him on the roster. And it's really strange in that they want to talk about how many games out of the wild card they are and where they currently stand in the, you know, win-loss column, and yet they didn't add. They didn't bring in any more talent for this year. And like you mentioned, they didn't really get better in any scenario. They only got worse. And it's just so very perplexing to me that they were so stagnant.
Yeah, you would think that they would at least keep Nate Lowe and Caleb Ferguson for a run if that was their thought. What do you believe changed heading up to the deadline? Because it sure seemed like Eugenio Suarez, Tyler Stevenson, these guys were gone.
It almost felt to me like the Reds just didn't have anything that other teams were looking for. And there was actually an article that came out early on Monday from C. Trent Rosecrans of The Athletic, where he talked about that most sources with other teams are reporting that any interest in any Reds available players was secondary, was fallback plan, was, all right, if we don't get this guy, then maybe we talk to Nick Kroll about Eugenio Suarez or, you know, whatever that might be. And then whenever you hear Nick Kroll talk after the deadline about some of the things that came and went, he said that reports of certain players being available were categorically wrong. So it sounds as though any player outside of the expiring contracts that the Reds had was off the table. And so probably at that point, once that conversation happened, opposing general managers got off the phone with the Reds. They weren't interested anymore. It's very odd to see. It sounded as if negotiations in most cases were very short.
So do you think this means that Tyler Stevenson, Gino Suarez, Brady Singer, some of these bullpen guys, can we expect them to be back with the Reds next year? Will they try to sign them?
I think they will attempt with a couple of them. They certainly need to with Tyler Stevenson. There is no immediate plan at catcher past this season. And that was one of the things that Nick Kroll had cited on the television broadcast of Tuesday night's game against the A's, where he said that if they talked with any other team about trading Stevenson to them, they were trying to find other trades to acquire catchers, and they were unable to do so, which is odd to me that they felt as though that was what had to happen. They couldn't call up Will Banfield. They couldn't call up any of the other catchers that we've seen at like AAA or something like that. They were just going to ride this rest of the contract out with Tyler Stevenson. And then with the emotional responses that Tyler Stevenson had leading up to the deadline, specifically on Sunday's game, it made you wonder a little bit if there was a soft spot that Tyler Stevenson might still stay here, because all reports up until this year have been any foray into a contract extension with Tyler Stevenson has been met with absolute rejection. Like Tyler Stevenson hasn't even countered because he felt initial offers were so low. So I wonder really what the plan is, because it doesn't seem as though Tyler Stevenson will be back next year, to say nothing of the pitchers. I mean, they're talking about qualifying offers for Brady Singer, which would be extremely short-sighted for a team that constantly talks about its amount of resources it has to build a roster. If you're going to tie up $23 to $24 million, which is likely what the qualifying offer will be, in one player, that player better well be either a middle of the lineup hitter or a ace pitcher. And that's not who Brady Singer is. Brady Singer is a fine starting pitcher. Nothing against him whatsoever, but he's not a $23 million starting pitcher.
Well, the Reds have played well since the All-Star break. We'll see if that can continue, and maybe they can get back into this race. I'm just perplexed, Jeff, as everything that went down this week with the trade deadline. For the latest on Reds news, check out the Locked On Reds podcast. Jeff Carr, he's been our guest. He's one of the hosts of that podcast. Jeff, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Ryan. Go Reds.
More Ohio Sports Magazine next on the Ohio News Network.
Hello, it's John Kozik, founder and president of TurboTrack Realty, and I buy real estate as is fast for cash. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000. I buy vacant properties, inherited homes, divorce situations, death in the family, apartment buildings, commercial properties. I even buy my tenants won't pay me the rent houses. Give us a call today for an all-cash offer at 614-470-2000, 614-470-2000.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Get a recap of all the day's news from across the state.
ONN affiliate WBNS-TV reports.
Haley Kirby reporting in downtown Toledo.
From the State House, Kevin Landers.
ONN Canton.
ONN affiliate WKYC-TV in Cleveland explains.
In Marietta, Brett Wharf, ONN News.
Emma Henderson in Genoa.
The ONN Daily Podcast. Listen at onnradio.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts from the Ohio News Network.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Another reason why Ohio is now ranked the number one state for business by CNBC. This is what unstoppable feels like. We did it together, Ohio. Our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
It's a busy intersection in your neighborhood. Drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians all moving with their own destinations in mind. Think of the roadway like an ecosystem. Every move affects someone else. And whether you're behind the wheel, on two wheels, or on foot, the road is full of signs, signals, and people telling you what's ahead. When we anticipate what's happening around us, when we're predictable, when we share the space, everything is safer. There's space for all of us. Breathe the road, Ohio. Brought to you by the Ohio Department of Transportation.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Do you have foot pain? Foot pain is not normal, regardless of your age or job. Podiatric physicians are the most qualified doctors to care for your feet and can provide important foot care solutions or shoe inserts to better manage foot pain. Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association podiatric physicians are located throughout the state and are dedicated to providing the highest quality foot and ankle care. We've been serving the profession and the public for over 100 years. For more information or to find a member of the Ohio Foot and Ankle Medical Association near you, visit ohiofoot.org.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
Now, let's get some highlights from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Here's producer Colin Berenger to set the scene.
Thanks, Jay. This week on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, the guys break down Cleveland Browns training camp. And Garrett Bush shares his opinion on what he's seen from Deshaun Watson early on in camp.
The thing that I'm alarmed about is there are times, and Zach talked about this on the show, there are times where you can see where Deshaun Watson throws the ball and you say, oh, I remember why Deshaun Watson was good back in the day. I remember that. Throws to the outside of the numbers when he got time, when the pocket ain't dirty. He's able to push the ball past the numbers. He had a really good throw to Jerry Jeudy, who cut on the wrong foot on a deep 25-yard comeback route. And he fell down, and it would have been a perfect pass. It was a great pass. However, the
quarterback tracker said it's incomplete, so it wasn't a good pass.
You got to, the tracker is the holy grail.
Yeah.
Now, but the thing that alarms me is there are throws where you're trying to figure out what is he looking at. There's throws on the goal line on Saturday where, you know, he threw the ball and he overshot somebody.
To catch the full breakdown, just search the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show on YouTube, subscribe to their page, and enjoy daily content covering all things Cleveland sports. We'll be back to wrap up this week's Ohio Sports Magazine when we continue on the Ohio News Network.
Right.
Rothman and Ice.
I'll find something to do. I've got some money.
We just talked about winning the lottery. That's what this whole conversation is based on.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan.
Men, if
the Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Now back to Ohio Sports Magazine on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Jay Fox.
We want to thank Dallas Aldridge, Jay Morrison, and Munch Bishop for being our guests on this week's Ohio Sports Magazine, and we thank you so much for listening. For Colin Berenger, Eric Reeser, and Ryan Baker, I'm Jay Fox. Thanks for listening to Ohio Sports Magazine, and join us next week right here on the Ohio News Network.